Please turn with me this morning to Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians, chapter 4. And I read verse 2. Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. My subject this morning is a door for the word. A door for the word of God. And you will see why I have chosen that title as you proceed in verse 3 and in verse 4. We pray for a door for the word of God, for the gospel. And I don't need to convince you again that Colossians is indeed a wonderful letter. And in a short section, it's a new section starting from verse 2, a new section, a short section, concise section. But Paul gives us a gem about prayer, about the necessity of prayer, about the duty of prayer, and about the importance of permanent, consistent, and steadfast prayer, prayer life. If you remember, in chapter 1, Paul opened his letter with prayer. He said to the believers, "We pray for you." And now, as he comes to the end of his letter, he is given his last exhortations. He has not yet done, but he is given some last exhortations. And among these last exhortations, he is commending, in a sense, calling the believers, continue in prayer. So he opened his letter with prayer, and he closes it also with prayer. Prayer is the most preached subject in the Bible by preachers, but the least practiced in churches. That's no wonder, because we are so reluctant when it comes to prayer. We are so passive when it comes to prayer. Why? Because prayer is very hard. If it was easy, we would all do it. But it's very hard. I hope you agree with that. It's very hard. The flesh is so weak. But prayer is a universal concept. Even the atheist who doesn't believe in God, he says there is no God. There are times when he prays. When he is in trouble, he says, "Oh God." But prayer is a universal concept. My dear brothers and sisters, no man is greater than his prayer life. But the greatest and the most influential man in the world is not the one who rules the world. It's not the one who has a good balance in his account or a lot of money. But the most influential man in the world is the man in prayer. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "The fervent prayer of the righteous man prevaileth or availeth much." The man on his knees in prayer is the most influential man in this world. Why? Because this man has grasped eternity. He has grasped the mind of God. He has the mind of Christ. He has grasped the mind of the Bible. He knows the purpose of life. My brothers and sisters, prayer, through prayer, it is like God is inviting each one of us, come, speak to me, talk to me, communicate with me. That's really how you should view prayer. God is saying, come, prevail upon me, prove me, persuade me, convince me. Why should I listen to you? Why should I answer your prayers? Why should I provide this or this to you? So convince me. So you can see, Prayer is God asking every one of his children. We are speaking here about sincere, genuine, earnest prayers done by a believer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not speaking about people who are praying outside the kingdom of God. Of course, we know there is common grace. God, even in his mercy, answers the prayers of non-believers, but that special touch, that special grace, that special answer of the providence and the presence of God is given only to those who have yielded their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and who have come to him through repentance in believing on the cross of Calvary. There is a difference. We shouldn't deceive ourselves about that. God hears the prayers of his children. So no wonder in this passage, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, continue in prayer. My dear brothers and sisters, if Christ, our Savior, the perfect man, needed to pray, he spent some nights in prayer. We are told, actually, that prayer is one of his customs. Do you have a custom? People sometimes are proud of their customs and cultures and traditions. We as a tradition, really the traditions or a custom we should have, Christ had two of them as they are listed in the Word of God. The first of one of his customs is prayer. The second one is going into the synagogue, which means going into the place of worship. My dear brothers and sisters, if Paul, the greatest apostle, the one who has given us most of half of the New Testament, needed to pray, Christ, as I said, in every single step of his ministry, special occasions in his life were backed up by prayer. Same with Paul. He was a man of prayer. If Paul needed to pray, how much you and me, feeble as we are, small as we are, weak as we are, frail as we are, fragile as we are, how much more we need to pray? In Acts chapter 9, verse 11, Ananias was told the way he should know who is Paul, it is said there, behold, he prayed. That was the difference. Maybe there were other people in the house. I cannot be sure of that. But the simple way by which Ananias should recognize Paul, he was a man of prayer, and he was praying exactly at that time. So prayer is a great need. Continue in a prayer. In prayer, Paul says, reconciliation have taken place in our lives. We are children of God. The newborn child wants to speak with his father because God has become our father. My dear brothers and sisters, prayer is a duty for a believer. We have a new life with a new heart, with a new heartbeat, because prayer is the very breathing of the soul. The very breathing of the soul. Prayer brings our lives to be on the same wavelength with God. Prayer brings our life to be in line with God. Because before we start to pray, where are you? And we are far from the living God. We are away, separated, cut off from him. But once there is that seed of the new birth being planted and sown, implanted in us, the first thing we want to do is to cry unto the Lord, to pray unto him. Lord, hear my cry. Lord, I call upon thee. And sometimes, not to distract you, please, I often say, we are given a phone number to call. You want God's phone number? It's in Isaiah, in Psalm 50, verse 15, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. This is the phone number you can call at any time, because God is saying, call upon me, and I will hear you, and I will take you out of the trouble. That's the assurance we have. So you can read again Psalm 50, verse 15. Where God says, come, speak to me, persuade me, and convince me. You know, John Bunyan is not considered to be a great man of prayer, but if I could tell you, that's not true. He wrote a book on prayer, a must read. You know what he said? He said prayer is a shield for the soul. Prayer is a sacrifice to God, an offering to God, but prayer is also a scourge to Satan. So prayer is so important for a Christian. A Christian must be a man of prayer. Prayer strengthens the soul. Prayer refreshes the soul. And we need to be men and women of prayer. So, when to pray, why to pray, how to pray, what to pray for is all given to us this morning in verse 4, in verse 2, 3, and 4 in Colossians chapter 4. So, my first heading is obvious: pray. That's the first thing Paul is saying. Continue in prayer, which means, first of all, you are praying. You cannot continue something you are not doing. So the first heading is that we are called to pray. Pray. Personally, I want just to reassure you, my purpose is not to dwell too much on prayer. I'm not giving a sermon on prayer, but because it is mentioned, we could do this sometime in the future. But the first thing, prayer is personal, it is private, it is also public, it is collective. So you pray privately, but you pray also publicly. There is a prayer meeting where we should attend. And this is given to us in so many passages in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Christ said, "Men ought to pray always." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, classic verse, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, first of all, men are to pray. The same is repeated in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 6, verse 19, all kind, all sorts of prayer are to be brought before the Lord. Pray in the Holy Spirit, Jude says, that our prayers must be spiritual. That's the meaning. So we are in a battlefield, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to keep in constant communication with our commander, because we are in a spiritual warfare. So don't cut yourself away from the commander. Why? Because you need his strength. You need him to give you the orders. Prayerlessness is sin. If you don't pray, I'm saying this with the most compassionate heart. If you don't pray, it is a sin. And to stop to pray is another sin. Why? Prayerlessness leads you to doubts, anxieties, lack of assurance, fears, barrenness, unfruitfulness. It leads a believer who doesn't pray, his life will end up with hypocrisy, and you can imagine a prayerless Christian will also soon fall in cynicism and skepticism. Everything is gloomy and dark. Why? Because he's not in touch with the commander, with God through prayers. My dear brothers and sisters, a prayerless Christian is defenseless. You know why? It's Luther who said this. What do you expect a tailor to do? To make clothes? Yes. What do you expect a shoemaker to do? A cobbler? What do you expect him to do? To make shoes? What do you expect a teacher to do? I'm adding to what he said. To teach. But what do you expect a Christian to do? To pray, of course. That's the calling of every Christian. It's the breathing. Calvin said, prayer is the breathing of the soul. How that? Your body breathes, so your soul should also breathe. How? By prayer. So continue in prayer, Paul is saying in this text. It is not just a good idea to pray. It is vital for our souls, for our lives, for our fellowship with the Lord, for our service, for our instrumentality. Prayer is not just an obligation. It is our greatest privilege. That's why, you know, no man can stop you from praying. People can stop you from eating, they can do that, from drinking water and so on. They can stop you from walking, but even in prison you can still pray. You know, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, deep down in the waters. What was he doing? in jail, in a dungeon, wherever you are, how many miles planes go in a rocket up there in the sky, you can still pray. As long as you have breathing in your heart and you are a child of God, you can pray and cry up unto the Lord. No man can stop you from praying. Pastors cannot. So pray, continue in prayer. Paul says, the importance of prayer. Prayer is for all ages, all genders, all people, everywhere and anywhere. Pray not just when you are in panic. Some people, things are going wrong. I'm almost losing my job. Now it's time. I will fast. I will pray. No, don't do that. Don't pray in times of crisis only. We pray every day, but we will explain that. We pray not only in tragedies. We continue in prayer. Prayer is the breathing of the soul. Prayer, not speaking in tongues, is the heavenly language. This is what some churches are missing out. There is no such thing called heavenly language. It is prayer. Prayer is the, not speaking in tongues. Nowhere it says angels have a language. Nowhere. They don't speak. And when they speak, it is for the benefit of people, not for your own benefit. So we all have a mother tongue, yes? So can I say something? Prayer is our father tongue. That's really how you have to view it. Prayer is the father tongue of a believer. And when we pray, we do not address Mary, we do not address the Pope, we do not address the saints. We speak to our Father. That's why it is our father tongue. And prayer, when you pray to the Lord, isn't that wonderful? God doesn't look at your grammar. He doesn't look at your accent. He doesn't look at your culture. He doesn't look at your eloquence. That doesn't matter. He looks at your heart. Is it genuine? Is it sincere? So that's what is so important when we come to prayer. It's not, God doesn't need an interpreter. He doesn't need, prayer doesn't need a posture or a place. Prayer is not a technique. Some people, they say, come, I will teach you how to pray. I wish there is a seminary or a Bible school where you learn how to pray. There is none. Practice makes perfect. You do it, you start. No one teaches a child how to cry. I'm sure parents would never give a lecture to their children how to cry. So the same, as a child of God, you learn by doing. You learn by doing, but stop. So prayer is so crucial in the life. Prayer is a muscle that requires to be trained. Prayer is to have communion with the living God in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Through prayer, we obtain God's guidance, fruitfulness, forgiveness, instrumentality, and all the blessings. There will never be blessings upon the church if the church neglects prayer. I said a lot on that first heading. The second one, Paul says now, continue. And the word continue there is an interesting word. It means go strongly forward with it. That's the meaning. Continue, which means don't take it lightly, don't take it in a shallow way, but go strongly about it. It is so important. It is so vital. Continue in prayer. This is for every Christian. Persevere and keep at it. Devote yourself to it. Be persistent, diligent, consistent, and steadfast. Give your whole attention to it. That's the meaning of continue. Why? Because you are in a great conflict. If you glance to chapter 4, verse 12, you will see a man there who was laboring. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He was laboring fervently for believers in prayer. So he was an intercessor. When you are worried, when you are anxious, what do? Pray without delay. That's the calling. Pray urgently. You are in a great conflict. There are times when you feel God is not hearing your prayers. What do? Continue in prayer. That's what Paul is saying. And even there are times when you feel and I feel, why God is so slow? What is going on? What should I do? Continue in prayer. But there are also times when I don't feel at all like praying. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't want it. But what do you do? Do you feel you want to go to work every day? I'm sure 1 more hour in bed would do good. But what do you do? Continue in prayer. Continue in your work. Continue in your witnessing. Continue in your life. And take it very seriously. So continue in prayer. Paul didn't have his stone being removed when he prayed, but he continued in prayer. Don't be cold in your prayers. Mean what you pray for. Prayer is hard because it requires time. It requires effort. It requires discipline and attention. Make it a top priority. Pray daily. Pray throughout the day. Pray regularly. Pray habitually. Pray importunately. Pray urgently. All these commands are given to us in the Word of God. Have what we call emergency prayers. You know what is emergency prayer? Lord, help me. Wherever you are in your life, in your work, you are pushed back to the wall. What do? Lord, help me. This situation is beyond my strength. Lord, be merciful unto me. So pray privately, but also pray in the prayer meeting. Pray for humility. Pray for wisdom. Pray for instrumentality. Pray for your daily bread. I know we live in the West. These things, we take them for granted. But I can tell you there are places where no one will go throughout the day without saying, Lord, give me my daily bread. But if you don't pray for that, can I ask you to do something very important, which I find a big witness to non-believers? When you invite them home or when you go into a public place, give grace. It's a small thing, but it speaks a lot to non-believers. What are you doing? I'm giving grace to God. I'm giving thanks to God for this food. Yes, you have the money to buy it. But who gave that? You have the strength to work. Who gave you that strength? It is God. So you give grace to God for every blessing he has bestowed upon you. Be specific in your prayers. Pray before you leave your home. And let prayer be the last lock in your life before you go to bed every day. The last lock, the security lock, is prayer. So pray instantly, pray earnestly, pray fervently. Make time for it and set time for it. Plan it. My dear brothers and sisters, before I come to the third heading, busier you are, much more you should be prayerful. People say, I'm so busy. Ask Martin Luther again. The more busier you are, more you need to depend on the Lord in prayer. So give yourself to prayer. Attend the prayer meeting. Why do you punish churches with your absence into the prayer meeting? Why most prayer meetings in many churches, 10, 20, 40, but we still believe in the power of prayer. That's the paradox again. How could you believe in something and yet when it's come to the doing, and in some churches, if there is concert, the church is packed. But when there is prayer meeting, you can count how many are there. God forbid, we give praise to the Lord that in our church there are hundreds, not just 100, but hundreds who are attending the prayer meeting. And this is why we could carry on. This is why the Lord is bringing people in. This is why the Lord is blessing the children. This is why he's saving in families, because this is a prayerful church. And you must be a prayerful believer also. So I hope some who have never maybe attended a prayer meeting, the little words I'm saying now will encourage them. I want to be there. I want to be in the army of the Lord. Where should doctors be? In the hospital. Where should soldiers be? In the army. Where should teachers be? In the school. Where should Christians be? In the prayer meeting. So that's natural for a believer, to be where his brothers and sisters are. And especially in the prayer meeting, we do not just pray for shallow things, for small things. We pray for big things, the conversion of souls, the implantation, the planting of churches, supporting men and missionaries, church planters, pioneers in other countries who are doing such a great work, working with children, working with sinners, working with atheists and animists and different nationalities and cultures. So it is so important to be dedicated unto prayers. Pray for families, for souls, for churches, for workers. And there is nothing that makes you love a person so much as praying for him. Do you hate someone? Pray for him. You will love him. You know, there are people You cannot stand them at all. You are kind of allergic. I'm exaggerating, of course. But what do you do? Believe me, if you pray for them, you will change. You see, I didn't say he will change, but you will change. Your attitude will change. Your view of them will change. I must come to the third heading. Pray, that's the first one. It is a command, it is a duty, it is a necessity. It is our father tongue. Second, continue in prayer. Whatever you do, continue in prayer. And the 13th Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Be watchful. And the word watchful there again is an important word in the Greek. Actually, it means gather together all your faculties. Sometimes we say a person is discouraged. What do you tell him? Put yourself together. So that's the meaning. Be watchful. My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord and the Bible is worried that we fall asleep. Wake up. A watchman who sleeps will put the whole city into danger. You know that. What did the Lord said to his disciples in the garden of Gethsemane? He said unto them, watch and pray. He's not saying don't sleep. Sleep is a gift when it's not exaggerated. Again, some people think it's the length, how many hours I have slept. That's what makes a good sleep. But when it comes to the needs, spiritual needs, wake up. It is a shame when we come, most of our services last an hour, 10 minutes, 15 minutes maximum. You come before the King of Kings, you have to gather yourself together. Your faculties are what? Your mind, your heart, your will, your soul, everything put together in order to be fully awakened. Like the two disciples on their way of Emmaus, when the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining the scriptures to us, what were they? What was happening to them? Their hearts were boiling and burning because they tell us more. We want to hear the word of God. But as soon as you know what I say in Africa, that churches where they have a band and a choir, when the band is playing, God forbid that we should ever listen to a band in the church, but when the band is performing, they are fully awakened. But when the preaching starts, people start to fall asleep, starting with the choir or the band. That's a shame, and I have seen it. That's why we don't need someone to sing and to worship the Lord for us. We are the choir of the living God. We sing together. We worship the Lord together. When we hear his word, this is where all our senses are alert. I hope you are awakened. It's very important. Be watchful, because the flesh is weak. Be alert. Satan is crafty. Temptations can easily sneak in. when you come to the prayer meeting on Monday after a heavy working day, it's very hard to keep yourself awake. But to be watchful, Christ said, keep all your senses to be alert. You don't want to be sleeping. And the word watchful there, to watch and watching the same, here, and especially in the book of Revelation, when that word is used, most of time it is in a relation with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you watchful, looking every day for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you have your own agenda and other plans in your life? No, I want to be watchful, waiting. He may come back even in our own generation. So be watchful and be alert. You are fighting against the powers of darkness. Gather your arsenal. The enemy is coming. The Lord is coming. Keep watching. Be watchful not to be shallow. Be watchful not to have wandering mind or idle words, time wasting. Be concerned about others. I must watch my heart, my mouth, my thoughts, and my weaknesses. Be concerned to about yourself. Watch not to fall in sin, and watch for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Home is still far. Be watchful. To be prayerful and watchful pay rich dividends. I must come to the fourth one. Pray, continue in prayer, be watchful. And Paul says in verse 2, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. We can say a lot about thanksgiving, really. That's each one of these elements is a whole sermon. We are just trying to condense it for in one go to explain the importance of how we need to continue in prayer. Prayer and thanksgiving are twins. Actually, thanksgiving is the crown of all prayers. Thanksgiving warms the heart. Even your child, when you give him something and he says thank you, you are very proud of your child. Ingratitude is a sign that the person is not born again. What are you the most thankful for? The joy of salvation, the joy of union with the Lord, the joy of seeing another person come into the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't stay long on this, but if you are not thankful for your own salvation, how could you earnestly be thankful or pray for the salvation of someone else? It's just impossible. So be thankful for your own salvation. Bring that before the Lord every day. I often say, for more than 30 years now knowing the Lord, every day I wake up, the first thing to be said to the Lord, Lord, I give thee thanks for the forgiveness of all my sins. Psalm 130 verse 3 says, if God counts our iniquities, who can stand? Rhetorical question. Who can stand? Meaning no one can stand. No, don't give thanks to the Lord just for this and this, but more than all, give him thanks that all your sins are forgiven. My dear brothers and sisters, all we do, all we give, all we receive, we must do it with an attitude of gratitude. Now, the last element I would like to put before you, pray for doors to be opened. That's what Paul says in verse 3 and 4. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, what to pray for? Though in prison, Paul was not praying that the doors of the prison will be opened for him. But he's praying that even in prison, that the doors of the gospel will be opened for believers. And if you read Philippians later, you will find that even in Caesar's, in the emperor's palace, there were some believers. Why? Because God has opened doors for the gospel to penetrate in places that no man could have imagined. Now, I have just to apply that four aspects before I close. And the first one, withhold, meaning beside praying for this and that, pray for the preaching of the word of God. That's what Paul is asking. Pray for the preaching of the word of God. This is humbling. The blessedness of the preaching depends on the prayers of the church. Pastors need your prayers as much as you need their prayers. If I could even change that, I need your prayers more than you need mine. Dr. Masters need your prayers more than you need his. Every pastor, every minister, every elder needs your prayers more than you need his prayers. As a church, gathered together. This is great power when all these prayers are put together. Pastors must pray, but they must also be prayed for. And that's humbling. If you do not pray for the preaching of the word, it's just a discourse, a speech, a lecture. No, we are not here. We don't entertain you. That's not the purpose. But the preaching of the word depends on the prayer of the people of God. Second, be burdened to pray for the preacher to communicate clearly, to communicate manifestly, to communicate straightforwardly, to communicate easily, to communicate spiritually, to communicate helpfully, to communicate plainly, to communicate faithfully, to communicate persuasively. It is not about rhetoric. It is not about eloquence. It is about clarity. You know, when you are given good news, do you need a thesis to explain good news to anyone? Good news, that's all. So the same, we don't have to make it complicated. Some people are so laborious in their sermons that you think they're not speaking to men, but angels somewhere. Angels do not need the gospel. We need the gospel. So be burdened to pray for the preacher to communicate helpfully. My dear brothers and sisters, there is no experience that is enough. Pastor has been preaching for more than 50 years. His experience is not enough. I believe if you ask him, every sermon is like a new sermon, where he has to work as hard as possible. You know how preachers put it? Inspiration is perspiration. If you don't work hard, no pain, no gain. So be burdened. Fourthly, pray that the Holy Spirit will open hearts. Watch and make opportunities. When you leave home, pray for a door. Don't just pray, but do something and expect fruits also. People, sometimes they say, I just pray. No, you pray and you do something. That's why there are so many avenues of service in our church here that no one should remain not doing anything for the Lord. So much to do. So do something. Are you worried for the salvation of a family member? Pray for him. Bring him in. The world is closing its doors, but God only can open those doors. Pray for doors of service. And finally, pray for us. Pray for missionaries. Pray for preachers. Pray for church planters. Pray for Sunday school teachers. Pray for helpers. But also pray for hearers. Seminaries are teaching people how to preach, but I wish there is a seminary who teaches people how to listen. How many times in the New Testament Christ said, whoever has ears, let him hear. Why is that important? The way you listen is very important, but don't just listen. James spoke about that. Don't just be a listener of the word, but a doer of the word. We pray, we do, but we are entirely depending on the Lord. A prayerful church is powerful to do great things for the Lord. My time is over. If I can read again these verses, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God, it is only God who opens the doors. God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest, simple, straightforward, clear, as I ought to speak. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's close by singing our last hymn, hymn number 348. Hymn number 348.